I want you all to look at someone next to you and say, less talk. Go ahead. And then say, more food. All right? Less talk, more food. That's what I promise you today. All right? That's what we're doing today. All right? So we're going to have a little bit of a shorter service, and then we're going to enjoy the Thanksgiving brunch. And if you're new with us, please come back and enjoy. We would love to be a blessing to you and just to get to know you. Okay? So come and enjoy. I feel like we've been in the Gospel of Mark. I feel like we are starting the Book of Mark Part 2. That is what this is like here in chapter 8. All right, now after spending about a year with Jesus, or maybe a year and a half, which is the approximate time span of chapters 1 through 8, in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples have finally admitted that Jesus is the Messiah, right? They were able to say it, and we see that moment, that spiritual awakening we talked about last week that took place in the powerful confession of Peter. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? There's a lot of opinions out there. And then the more pointed question, he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says what? You are the Messiah. I mean, what a huge statement that is. Right? It leaves us no question about who the disciples believed they were with. They believed they were with the Messiah. So either these guys are right or they are insane. I mean, that is the bottom line. But then right after this moment, it's like we've been building up to this moment, we get this huge shift that takes place. And in the very next verses, starting in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, that's where we're going to, let's read that. It says this. Then he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. He starts to teach something new here. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. I mean, talk about one of the greatest flip-flops to ever be recorded in Scripture. Peter confesses the Lord as his Messiah last week in this previous verse, and then says, that this is not happening. This is not happening. Right? What's going on here in Scripture? Well, it says Jesus begins to speak with clarity about why he is here. He lays it out, as it says, plainly. Right? There's no parables here. There's no stories here. There's no wondering what I'm supposed to be seeing with my spiritual eyes. It's just the mission that Jesus is on, plain and simple. Here's some food for thought, all right? Just to think about. It's so interesting that we have worked so hard to get to the point of believing in Jesus and that he's the Messiah, only to then question his plan for our lives, right? You ever feel that way? I wonder if we do that sometimes. See, Jesus was the Messiah in Peter's mind, but he was still the Messiah on Peter's terms. See what I mean? We can do that, can't we? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Jesus on my terms. And that's what Peter was struggling with. See, Jesus is not some miracle worker in your life. Not just some miracle worker. He's not just some bread distributor like we've been reading about with all these feedings. And here's what we start to learn about. We learn about what it means to actually be the Messiah. And I want you to write down what we just read. Mark 8:31, okay? What we just read. Because in just this one verse, we have his entire mission. One verse. The entire mission. Plainly. And that word plainly, it means a simple and easy to perceive. This should be simple and easy for us to perceive. What is the mission? Number one, from Mark 8:31, he came to suffer. He came to suffer. What did he come to suffer? It says, many things. Now, we don't have to expand too much on that today. We don't have to provide a full list of everything that he came to suffer. What we know is he said many things, and that means a lot and not a little. He came to suffer a lot. Number two, he came to be rejected. He came to be rejected. Now, why would you knowingly go somewhere to be rejected on purpose? I don't want to do that. That does not sound fun. But it tells us that he anticipated his own rejection by his own people. But he was willing to take the rejection for our acceptance. Number three, he came to die. He came to die. He knew what would happen to him. If he came to die, and he said it right here in Mark 8:31, he knew what would happen to him. He was prepared to do all that was necessary on his mission. And he came to die so that others might be able to live. And number four, all in this one verse, he came to rise again. Amen to that. This is huge, all right? Not just to die, but to rise again. What does that mean? He came to conquer the real enemy in our lives, the enemy of death. Nothing matters more than the mission that Jesus came to accomplish. And we see him start to talk about these things. We are all headed somewhere, aren't we? Everyone in this room, we are headed somewhere, and that is for the grave, right? We're all headed for the grave. We are all dead men. We are all dead men and dead women, aren't we? At some point. But we start to learn that he came to make a way for us to live again. I can't even fathom that. But we will live again. And it's so much more than the disciples had in mind. More than just human concern. Jesus had so much more in mind. And if you think about all we've read and gone through, all his miracles up to this point, they've been astounding. And they've made for great study material, right? We studied a lot of the stuff. But they are not why he came. They are presented in the Gospels so that we might believe who Jesus is. It's just as John said at the end of his Gospel in John 20. He says this, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That is why we have the gospel. Everything in the gospels are written for us to have the same spiritual awakening that Peter had, that the disciples had. But we must also begin to understand more than just the title that Jesus is crowned with. We have to understand why he wears the crown. It's important. to our growth. The Messiah came to suffer, to be rejected, to die, and to be resurrected. That is the plain and simple reason why he came. In Mark 8:31. And yet, that plain and simple truth is one of the hardest truths that people must come to terms with in their lives. It should be easy to perceive, but it's not. Until you understand your great need for a Messiah. That this must happen. Just as Jesus said, these things must happen. Peter, we see, was ready to admit that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter was not ready to accept the mission. Not yet. And that's sometimes where we find ourselves. Especially, you know, those of us that have been going to church for a long time. And you know, we've been seeking the Lord. We find ourselves sometimes, you know, right in between having accepted Jesus as the Messiah and then actually living out the mission that he's given us. We're just right in there, you know, just struggling with, oh, giving all of myself to this mission. And this is now the direction that the gospel turns to the rest of the way. So I'm really excited about it. But let's look real quick at why Jesus gave Peter such a strong rebuke when he said what he said, when he said, no, this is not going to happen. There's times when strong rebukes are necessary. This is one of those times. If you recall, towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry, after he was baptized, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And in that time, Satan took Jesus up on a high mountain. Before all this began, and he said, hey, look at all these kingdoms. If the world is what you're after, I'll give it to you. I'll just give it all to you. If a kingdom is what you want, it's yours. If you simply bow before me. What's he saying? I mean, other than being the most prideful thing any being has ever said. Right there. Like, just think about that. He wants the God of the universe to bow before him. Wow, he is prideful. But what's he saying? He's saying, you want this world? You want to rule? Okay, there's nothing you need to do. Right? Don't get all drastic here. Let's just make a deal. Let's make a deal for it. Don't go through all this trouble that you're thinking about doing. But the real reason we're so thankful today is because Jesus knew what his mission was, and so he resisted these types of temptation to obtain cheap glory. That's what Satan placed at his feet. He placed a throne without suffering at the feet of Jesus, and what Peter said here was virtually the same type of temptation. To go get what you're after without suffering. Jesus is not after a worldly throne and gaining the whole world. It's not what he's after first, right? And that will make this next part of Scripture click. Let's go with Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Here it is. Then, after all this, he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and he said, look, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul. You see, in the temptation of Jesus and with what Peter said, Jesus was basically offered the whole world, but he said no, because it's your soul that he's after. Wow. So what do we have here in Mark chapter 8? We have the mission of the Christian life, plain and simple. We had the mission of Jesus right before this. Now, plain and simple, the mission of the Christian life. So write down Mark chapter 8, verse 34. All right? Because our mission is wrapped up in this one verse. Right here. If you study Mark 8, 31 and Mark 8, 34, you will get the mission that we are on. Number one, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever. So anyone out there, the mission is the world. Whoever wants this can have it, but they have to desire it. They have to want it. Number two, denying yourself. Man, have you ever heard, I am my own worst enemy? Have you heard that? It's true. Have you ever heard, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong, right? It's true. Self is the greatest hindrance of all, because I want things my way. But there is no way in me that saves my soul. Jesus does that. So I may need to start denying a lot of things in my life that take me away from him. This is my mission. Number three, he says, take up your cross. Oh, the cross. Look at the cross. The cross was the instrument of execution. It represents the cost. And I know we have this cross and we see it every day, but when we look at that, we should be thinking, wow, that represents the cost of following Jesus. It's going to cost you something. See, when Jesus starts to get real, right? When he gets down to the plain and simple gospel, it's going to cost you something. Maybe your status, maybe some comfort, maybe the approval ratings that you're getting, maybe your lifestyle, but it's going to cost you. And the last thing, number four, he says, follow him. What does that mean? That means follow him down the roads that he walked. Where he went, we go. Including spreading the gospel, including suffering, including rejection. This is our mission. And as promised, more food, less talk, okay? So we're going to wrap this up and then move on to our Thanksgiving brunch. But let me just close with a couple thoughts. You know, Jesus is not after something cheap. Boy, that is a message we ought to pull out of every story that we read about him. He does not want cheap glory. He is willing to pay the price for what? Your soul. Your soul. He turned down all the kingdoms of the earth for your soul. Wow. Your soul is of more value to him than everything else. Man, that is the God we serve. I want to follow a God like that. At some point in our lives, we have to decide if we really want to die with Jesus. If we really want to die with Jesus, right? Meaning, do we really desire him? Yes, Do we need to deny ourselves? Yes, we do. Taking up our cross, what's the cost? What's the cost of making this decision? Do we want to follow him down the same roads that he walked? Most of us in this room, probably all of us, have confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. But that doesn't mean we're all ready to accept what that means for our personal lives. Amen? We've got to think about that and be serious. We're not in this for the world, are we? We are in this to follow Jesus. Amen. Let me pray. Close this down. I'm excited to just have some fellowship today, and then I will give some instructions. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you for all that you went through. We see the Gospels laid out to show us who you are. That we would know, God, you have the power to save our souls. There's no greater news than that. We are so thankful for that. We want to show that to you today by just celebrating over the abundance of food you've given us and by loving one another, like you said. Lord, let us just be willing to follow you. Amen. Amen. All right, a few instructions. I'm going to release you in just a minute. One, as soon as you go in to the gymnasium, you can begin eating. Don't wait for me or anyone else. Just start eating, okay? There's going to be signs that have where we want the line to go. Follow the line. There's a potluck table by the stage, and then there's pancakes in the window, and just eat pancakes to your heart's content. Seriously. Do it for the love of God. Amen. Pancakes. I love that. And just pour lots of syrup on it, okay? I'm going to pray. Let me pray for the food right now, and then the food is prayed for, and we can go, okay? Father, thank you for the food we're about to eat. We bless your name, bless all the hands that made it, and bless this time of fellowship here at Hope Church. We love you so much. Amen. You guys are dismissed.